Welcome to Recruiting Intel on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook. We got Justin Wells. We got Coach Dub. It's Tuesday afternoon. That means it's time to talk recruiting. So thank you for joining us. If you're here, make sure you like this video and subscribe to the channel, bringing you recruiting pretty much every day if you can get the questions in on the live. But you know, Tuesdays and Fridays, we talk on these videos, so make sure you like the video and subscribe to the channel. And of course, if you've not done so yet, make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. You can join today, get 4 months for $1, get the best from all of us at Inside Texas. You get the best from everybody on the On3 network, including Steve Wiltfong, who had some notes up. We'll have some more notes up later, but we got a few guys to talk about today. First off, and I'll get the banners up later, but we got to talk about David Bailey, the Stanford transfer who jumped into the portal right after Troy Taylor got fired. 30-day portal window opens. This is someone who has basically been a three-year pseudo starter for the Cardinal. Not a lot of success out at Stanford. And, you know, edge is a position that, Justin, you would think you just kind of rely on what you got coming in the high school ranks. But Texas bringing him in for a visit, and already saw Lubbock to see Texas Tech, has plans to see UCLA in the works as well. What are your thoughts on Texas maybe bringing in David Bailey and maybe trying to get him to join the roster for the 2025 season?
This feels like vintage Steve Sarkisian. And I say vintage, he's only been in Austin, what, this is fifth year. But that's what he does. He runs this thing like an NFL roster, which means he churns the bottom of it on a regular basis. You might think you have enough players, but if there's a really good, talented guy in the portal that can help them over the course of a 14, 15, 16-game season in 2025, Sark's going to go after him. He's done this cycle after cycle. He'll continue to do it. It's kicking the tires to make sure they have the best roster possible going in to this next season. And so, and if there's one, if you would have said one position that probably doesn't need, you know, an infusion of a portal guy, I would say edge. I'd say there's tons of talent on edge, veterans, rookies, in-betweens, and also this Colin Simmons guy. So it's almost like, oh man, do they really need this spot? But we know how Sark operates. If he thinks David Bailey can come to Austin and help this team win in 2025, he'll pursue him. He'll put the effort into him. And then I'm curious what Charlie has to say, because he's got more of an evaluation report from one of his sources in the industry. But for me, I'm at the macro level, and I'm thinking, man, do you really need edge? Charlie will knock out the micro.
Hey, I'm kind of curious what you think the bottom of the roster is for this position with who they've got on it now. It seems like an addition near the top. I think overall you have a lot of stacked guys at the position. You mentioned Colin Simmons, and of course probably Ethan Burke running with the ones over there at the Jack position. But I think if you want to keep Trey Moore inside linebacker, shoring up depth at Buck isn't a bad idea, because if you go behind Colin Simmons, who is it going to be? Is it going to be Zena Umiozulu? And do you want to play someone who we have a lot of respect for, but who hasn't seen a, you know, varsity snap yet, or a three-year starter at a power conference? It's that type of balance that I think Texas is looking for. And I know he's got some lofty PFF grades. He's not going to come in and be a starter no matter what if Texas were to get him. And he's, like I said, he's got these lofty PFF grades. But Charlie, based off some context you have in talking about Bailey with them, not somebody who excites you as much as it may excite PFF.
Yeah, definitely. I think PFF sometimes look at just situationally get a grade. Maybe the guy has a high number of pressures and sacks, and sometimes that kind of overblows all the other numbers, like your data, your play by play analysis and grades, right? Did he read the right run fit? Had the right run fit? Is he squeezing or closing space when he's supposed to, right? But you know he can rush the passer, right? I think that's probably what he's getting brought in for, is to rush the passer. You got Colin Simmons going into his sophomore year, maybe asked to do more than just get after the quarterback and get upfield, right? He has to play a full edge position now. So you want to add that depth. And I think that's what this David Bailey is. I think that's what he brings. A guy who just can come off the bench and maybe rush the passer for you when you need him in fourth quarter when everybody's tired. And as we know, Texas has a long season, and had a long season last year, and they're planning on having another long season. So having depth, I think that's what David Bailey brings. But I think you just want to see him play consistently, have a motor every single snap, right? Not have any busted coverages or busted plays, having the right assignments. And I think that's the thing. And Texas, we've seen that in the past. We saw it, you know, Texas get the most out of Ovi. I don't want to pronounce his last name wrong.
Ovi Ogofu.
Ogofu, same one, right?
This is exactly who I thought this kid was. I start thinking about Ovi.
Got Ben Davis, who came from Alabama, right? They tried to get something out of him. He got a fumble, forced a fumble against Oklahoma. So I think David Bailey maybe provides that. Those guys, guy off the bench who comes in, maybe spell Colin Simmons, Zena, Ethan Burke, you know, from time to time off the bench.
Colton Bosick.
Yeah, Bosick.
I think as the roster stands right now, they're at 81. And part of me, you know, just kind of thinking about how these rosters work, I don't think they keep two kickers and two punters, especially, you know, with both your kickers being a senior. I think they'll keep two punters because they want Michael Kern to learn. So, okay, that gets you to 80. You always have natural attrition, but we know what they really are interested in. You know, they're probably interested in a few different offensive positions, maybe someone on defense, at defensive tackle, most likely out of any other position. But, like, they're going to be looking at some of these skill positions to shore up on the offensive transfer portal. And I don't know if edge is where you want to spend that roster capital, but we'll see what happens whenever guys do make decisions, tough conversations happen. They look for additional playing time elsewhere, things like that. And if it all works out, okay. Remember, even though the house settlement's coming in and the roster cap in FBS football is going to be 105, there is an SEC rule that you can only have 85 scholarships. So not much is changing on that front. You still got to work by that 85 rule as far as numbers goes when you're looking at everything from whenever the settlement is reached to July 1st when the new calendar turns. So anything else on Bailey, or is it time to start talking about some high school kids?
Let's go back to high school. Be a lot cooler if you did.
All right. Well, we go with someone that Charlie caught up with today. And again, go to InsideTexas.com. You can read a little bit more about it. Again, 4 months for just $1. But Zayden Crimpen from Prosper High School, he might be the most offered prospect in the nation. I know not every prospect announces all their offers because – sometimes you're at Texas, or sometimes you're like a power four level kid and you get an offer from Lamar. You're not really looking up pictures of the streets of Beaumont, where if somebody from LSU offers you, you're finding a picture of Mike Tiger as fast as you can. But Zayden Crimpen has a lot of power four offers. Definitely somebody within the state of Texas, the Longhorns are very interested in. One of the best coming from a great offensive line, high school in Prosper. And, Coach, it sounds like, if possible, he'd like to get to Texas really soon.
Yeah, you know, he's been traveling the country this spring, seeing some other schools. I know spring football starts next week for Prosper on the 9th. And then depending on weather and track meet this coming weekend, he wants to come to Austin. But, things are up in the air right now. But if he does get there, he wants everybody to know it's not about fun trips anymore. He's doing his homework when he visits schools. What the depth chart looks like, what the academic, what does my degree plan look like? He wants to know, you know, the nitty gritty of everything dealing with football and outside of football. And so this guy's taking recruitment very serious, but speaks to the kind of character he is, man. If he gets on campus, he's going to take everything serious and really go to work. And so Crimp is a great kid. He's really just doing his due diligence right now. But if he makes it to Austin, look out. He has a great relationship with Coach Cal Flood and Darren Gatewood, the offensive line assistant coach. So it's steady building. And, if he does make it to Austin, he really just wants to see, hey, what do the guys look like in front of me, right? Where do they have what's the plan for me when I get here? And then what does that guy look like on the field that I have to go compete against next year, right? So I hope he does make it to Austin, but we'll see.
Hey, do you think he might have a little bit of fear of missing out? Like him, because Felix Ojo definitely got a fear of missing out this last weekend. After we talked to all those offensive linemen and prospects from coming off of the weekend recruiting event in Austin, all these other big guys are like, wait a minute, we got to get on campus. We want to see practice too. We want to be there too. I think Crimpen and Ojo need to ride together. I think they should shuttle because both of them have been hearing everything that people were saying about practices, and they want to go watch Trevor Goosby. They want to go watch DJ Campbell.
Yeah, they
want to go see Cole Hudson and Brandon Baker. I promise you, Crimpin is paying attention, just like you said.
Yeah, definitely. I'll probably say the same and agree with you on that one.
When looking at the Texas offensive line class right now, of course, it just got a jolt with Nicholas Robertson, an interior guy. It had Max Wright, who projects to tackle with his height. But who knows? Maybe he ends up being able to do multiple things on that offensive line. And this kind of comes into to this question roster. We know they want John Turntine. We know they want Felix Ojo. If they get both, as Charlie, you talked about, there's confidence that they can do. Yeah. There's your four. And then, okay, where do you look for number five? They could probably go to number five, right, Justin? And I think number five.
Five's the number. Three tackles and two guards. And five, I think that fifth spot would probably be Cody Green.
And if and that's going to be somebody we talk about in a little bit.
Right.
He may be a little bit more of a difficult pull considering he's already committed somewhere.
Those are going to be really tough pulls. Yeah.
And if, you know, not to say that, you always, every coach always has their preferences and stuff like that. It still doesn't make Crimpin a bad prospect, but like, or, you know, a poorly written, you know, it's, you know, you, everybody's got priorities. And if you have to go from Green to Crimpin, okay, that's still a great class. And it gives you a lot of versatility within that class. Yeah. You've got two true, you got, you know, the truest tackle, in Felix Ojo. Mm-hmm. You got another most likely true tackle in Max Wright. You have three extremely versatile linemen in Turntine, in Crimpin, and then an interior guy, I guess more versatile for guard to center, but interior versatile guy. That's what you want out of a five-man class. Yeah. You want the picture to come together looking like that with a good fit on each position. Justin, this is a good question. Anything on Sam Utu? It looks like they're keeping their focus on out-of-state offensive linemen pretty limited at this point.
Yeah, right now, I think he's still set up for a mid-June official visit, but there's just not a lot of whispers coming around Utu right now. I know they still want to bring him in, but I have a feeling, you know, you can see we have a master list at InsideTexas.com right now of all the recruiting visitors from today until the last weekend in June. And he's on that list, but he's one that I don't think he's as high a priority as some of these other guys. And if you listen to what Joe just said, four of those guys are in state.
Yeah.
Like I think the Horns are what they did this year, and they had to kind of overcorrect with some of these in state kids too. I think Crimpin was one of them possibly, where they were going a little out of state too much. They were throwing that reel, they were casting out a little too wide for the comfort of these in state puppies. And these guys are like, wait a minute. But that's Texas just doing their due diligence, like Coach said. That's just them being thorough, having backup plans, and then having a contingency plan for the backup plan in that sense. And so Utu is that's one that's – I don't think he's really high up on the board right now, but it's a guy that we know he's got an OV set, and we'll continue to monitor that one.
Before we keep going, got to show some love to our sponsor, and that is Roback. There's only one way to describe Roback. Best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. With novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas, it's definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look, but the comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers. They are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on Roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20. This is a little off the beaten path, but Drew Pine apparently has more eligibility. Notre Dame, Arizona State, Missouri, and now school number four for year number six. We're almost.
Is that the quarterback?
Yeah. Oh, man.
When are we getting an age limit?
This has to be the last year, right?
At some point, when are we getting an age limit? Because they had one of the basketball teams in the Sweet 16 Auburn. They were showing the other day. Who? Yeah.
It's Auburn.
Auburn. There's a couple guys on there ready, almost collecting AARP checks, like 25 and above. Like, you know what that is? That's a semi-pro. That's a men's league rec league team right there.
Yep.
All the guys that played through college, they still got some of that competitive juice. They show up to church. They get over-competitive. They start throwing out bad words into the house of the Lord. That's where those kids should be, not playing in their ninth season in Auburn. But, let them fix it. If it's up to Diego Pavia, he's going to play till he's like 30.
So. It's a land of opportunity, right? Justin, what about this? Sam Roseborough, that's another name we forgot, and definitely someone that I think needs to be considered on the radar.
Dude, Sam is a dude now. Like, he's one. He kind of reminds me of the kid that we saw this weekend in Caden Scott, the 6'6", 292 offensive tackle out of San Antonio Roosevelt for 2027. Going to be a potential future five-star. Roseborough kind of gives me that vibe because he has that frame. I mean, he has the tool. He has that moldable clay that you can build up. He doesn't have bad weight at all, can play inside, can play outside. I think they would love to take him, to be totally honest with you, even with the guys that they're already focused on. I think he'd be a guy that they would consider. But if he's just wanting to play tackle, I think that's going to be tougher, especially with Texas position with Ojo and Turntine. Ojo, Turntine, and Max Wright would probably shut down offensive tackle recruiting for the cycle, most likely. And I think that would kind of – Roseborough might be out. But, look, that kid's got a lot of upside. He's got a mom in Austin. He has a lot of – you know, he really likes Texas. They have his attention. We just have to figure out exactly if they're going to skip over a few in-state kids for him. Right now, I don't think they will.
Let's keep on moving. We'll talk about some of the visitors that made it in this past weekend, and probably Justin, the big one, Xavier Crowell, Jackson, Jackson, Alabama. I think he's a top 25 prospect across the board. And this was his first opportunity to meet Chad Scott. We got some good returns from Crowell from his first. Is this his first visit to Austin, or had he been before?
This was the first.
So what? How is Texas looking, especially now that we know that Javion Osborne has a top two that doesn't include Texas, that Amari Latimer is looking unlikely with Tashard Choice, the NFL? How big was this for Texas in running back recruiting in the 2026 cycle?
It was really big from an optics standpoint, in my opinion. Now, they did really well, and they're squarely in this recruitment after last weekend. They gave Crowell the red carpet treatment. He was there for 2.5 days. It went really well. He hit me up as soon as Saturday was over with and just loves Chad Scott. He loves the fact this guy just showed up, he said, about a month ago, and he's already got the running back room looking well. He's already doing well in recruiting. I can't get past Crowell in state. I feel like Alabama and Auburn are just going to be just battles to get this kid because that's where he's grown up, and those are the two schools he's kind of always liked. And so I think Texas is in the mix, and he even tweets out how much he likes Chad Scott and how much he likes the opportunity. He's seen what everyone else has seen. Bijan, Rashawn Johnson, Jonathan Brooks, Jaden Blue, fourth string running back Trey Wisner goes for a grand in yards last year. They're all seeing the same thing. It's a very running back friendly style. And Sark, for all his passing exploits, loves handing off the football. And so Texas is squarely in this. And listen, in this day and age, when the horns are locked in on a kid, they got a shot as much as anyone in the country. I think they moved the needle. I think they did a great job. Crowell was so you know, just gushing over Chad Scott and hanging out with Trey Wisner. I don't know if there's a better guy. If you decide, hey, I got a player I want to host. Trey Wise is probably the best example you could ever imagine. Just so down to earth. Texas is in it. I don't like Alabama getting that last OV in June. I just don't. Yeah. They're going to get him back on campus for his official, I believe it's June 6th through the 8th. I don't like Alabama getting that last one, but it's going to be a battle. Chad Scott's decided to put on his gloves. They're going to box it out, and for good reason. Crowell is a guy that you go to the mat for.
Charlie, is this one of those things where this is the big swing that they're taking? You know, we've seen them take big swings at guys like Bijan Robinson, CJ Baxter, stuff like that. Is this the focus on the big swing guy this cycle? Yeah,
I would say so. This kid's probably been the number one running back in his class since eighth grade. I mean, you just go back and watch film, everything about him. This is a big swing. He'd be a great get and a great addition to the class, man. I think this guy does it all, from running, catching the football. You can put him in a return game. He can do that but well. So he's just like one of a kind type of running backs. And so you don't really want to miss out on Crowell. And so, you know, I think this could be not only just Chad Scott, but a staff recruitment. Everybody jump in, all hands on deck. We need this guy in this class.
I forgot. Also, Crowell was at a game last year. I totally forgot. He attended one of the games last year, so this wasn't his first time. I don't know if it was his fourth living rent-free in UT, but he was at a game last year. And I do think, Weary, that this is going to be a two running back class. That's kind of what – that was the standard for choice before. I don't think anything's going to change, especially if you look at the depth chart. KJ Edwards is number one on that board. If he's 1A, Crowell is 1B. And so that and if for some reason they can't corral Crowell, I don't know how I said that as well as I did. There's a kid up in Buffalo, New York that really has Chad Scott's attention. That's Elijah Kimball. And so he's another one that Texas fans need to kind of get used to his name. You don't always expect going up to New York to find a talented tailback, but Chad Scott did. And so he's just another guy in the mix. But it's a two running back cycle.
Can y'all ever remember a Texas versus Syracuse recruiting battle?
Royal Ivy.
Okay.
There we go. It's been 22 years in another sport, maybe 23 years in another sport.
Maybe Terrence Rencher, too. But Ivy for sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
That's back when Penders was hanging out in New York every other weekend. He'd go to Rucker Park for his point guard every cycle. That's just what Penders did. It was brilliant.
If there's a running back Texas is interested in from Buffalo, New York, I'm sure Fran Brown has his phone number memorized.
This is the worst time to battle Syracuse. And I know we're being facetious, but Fran Brown is a guy I'd play for. Like Fran Brown, he's going to do some great things up there. And that's a place that used to have a really strong football tradition. Fran Brown's bringing the Orangemen back.
Let's talk a little bit about Cody Green, a modern-day offensive lineman, currently committed to Oregon. But Justin, this is the one out-of-state guy we were talking about. Maybe more than one, but the main out-of-state focus we were talking about. Yeah. Texas is always going to be trying to go to modern-day to pull some of the top talent. Yeah. So is Oregon. So is USC. And lo and behold, there's a three who are really coming after the Ducks commit. But Texas will have an opportunity with them soon.
Yeah, and, you know, as we've seen, you know, the Ducks, sometimes they can lose guys throughout a cycle, and this would be one that Texas would love to grab. Cody Green, to me, I think he's a numbers buster. I think if they get who they really want to focus on in this cycle at O-line and they still have a chance to get Green, they would still add him. Like, you don't tell Cody Green no. You just can't. I think Eric even made a point on the message board yesterday or a day before about – he might be the most NFL safe draft pick type guy that we envision when we see these classes to classes. Cody Green can do a little bit of everything. And he's got a great example in Austin of Brandon Baker and Spencer Shannon and those guys. And I promise you, Mark Bowman is going back to Cali to say the same thing, but it's still going to be tough because it's not just pulling him from Oregon. USC, we have seen what USC is doing from an NIL standpoint in the last 3 or 4 months. They are trying to really make that a focus, and they've done pretty well with some of those guys so far. Of course, it takes – you still got, 7 months, 8 months left? And that's what Texas is so good at. You know, I believe it was Turntime – or no, it was Ojo told Charlie a week ago – he loved the recruiting approach from Texas, from Flood, from the lack of pressure. Mm-hmm. We heard that again Saturday from recruits. You know, that was one thing that Nicholas Robertson had said. He said, you know, they'd always stayed in touch, but they never pushed me. They never pestered. They just stayed in contact. To me, that's Cody Green 101. Just stay in the race. Just give yourself a shot. it's kind of like Justice Terry last year. Once they got into the mix, just hang around the rim. Because in this day and age, with NIL, with so many things going on rosters, you just don't know what could happen at the end of the day. And right. So Texas doesn't need Cody Green as much, but you take him any opportunity you can get. I would have him a little bit higher than Roseboro. Green's just already got a college-ready body. He's been playing college-level competition already. Like, Green's a dude that I think no matter who they get, he's a numbers buster.
So I think during the course of the show, Hayes Fawcett tweeted out that Chris Henry, and I got – this is going somewhere, don't worry. Chris Henry Jr., who's at Modern Day, probably the best wide receiver in the country, said he's shutting his recruitment down, not taking any officials, all that. We know Texas was after him. We know Texas after Mark Bowman. We know Texas after Cody Green.
Sean Scott, Caden Dixon Wyatt.
Yeah. So, okay, here we go. I'm going to put the number at 1.5. 1.5 modern day Monarchs signed with Texas in this 2026 class. Over or under?
Under.
Wow. Yeah.
He'll get one.
Yeah. I think that's why I set the number. That's why I'm
good. They'll get one. And I think the one they'll get is the RPM.
Definitely.
I like the sound of that.
I just want people to understand with Cody Green. If they have five guys committed and Cody Green says, hey, I want to jump in the boat, they're getting him in. Go get the life jacket because he's coming.
Well, I'm going to go two. Only reason I say two is, you know, David Bailey's from Modern Day.
Okay. Wait a minute. There's Coach being slick.
Oh, man. Off the board. Pulling it off the board.
It's okay to let Bailey go to Lubbock. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, definitely.
Last but not least, Justin, you just posted about this right before we hopped on here. Little 2027 talk. That is Landon Williams Callis out of Richmond Randall, state champion running back. And he is someone who has shown some affinity for the Horns and will make his way back to campus soon.
This kid has been recruited since fourth grade. Charlie and I, we're in offices all the time. And what do we hear? Oh, that kid's been getting offered. He's been on the radar, coach's radar since eighth grade. Yeah. He's been known since ninth grade. Landon Williams Callis has been known about 5 years after he was born. Like, there's something about this kid in that area, in that region. Like, he already has, like, prophet status within that community. And that was before he won the state championship. That was before he was one of the main cogs. Hey, I love also Brian Randall, the head coach out there. You talk about a great man, a great coach, does so much for his kids. Landon Williams Callis, number two kid on three industry rankings in the country. Texas talks to him on a regular basis. Chad Scott's been connecting with him over the last month. I was able to catch up with Landon a little bit earlier today, and he's going to be coming in for an unofficial visit on April 12th. That looks like that's going to be the next big recruiting weekend. This next coming one's only going to have a handful of guys that come in, but in April 12th weekend, that list is getting longer. Check us out at InsideTexas.com. We continually update that list. But look, Landon, don't want to look too far ahead, but we always have to have an eye towards the next class. And Landon's a guy that's, you talk about Zayden Crimpin level offers.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a school that hasn't offered Landon. And he's not your stereotypical running back size. He's almost a little, you would think, small. He doesn't play small.
At all.
He is a pinball wizard. Yeah, that's right. I went to who. This guy can bounce. He's like on gummy. Remember that cartoon Gummy Bears? And they would just bounce around. He's like on gummy bear juice.
Maurice Jones Drew 2.0.
You know what I'm talking about? He just bounces everywhere, can catch the ball, can pick up the blitz to protect his quarterback. He's a monster on the track. That's what he's doing right now at Randall. And so getting him on campus, I know we've talked so much about 2026 recruiting, Crowell, KJ Edwards, all that other stuff. Hey, just understand the Horns have an eye on the future. They really, really – they like Landon Williams Callis just like Tashard Choice really like Landon Williams Callis. They talk on a regular basis. He's going to be back in Austin in 2 weeks.
Not saying this is imminent with Landon Williams Callis, but you have to always take into account the possibility that these top 2027s be like, and I'll show up a year earlier. So it's not a bad idea to get to know them a little bit earlier than you may have been anticipating. And of course, Yeah. If you're here, it's because you're already a recruiting junkie and want to know the latest. But if you are a real recruiting junkie, well, we've got the place for you. You need to head to InsideTexas.com today. You can get 4 months of access for just $1. They'll get you to August 1st at this point. By then, I think camp will have started. You'll have a bunch of summer decisions, maybe even a few more as kids try to do it during training camp for their high school teams. Yeah. Summer workouts for the Longhorns, official visit season, the rest of spring football, all the different best inside intel, including stuff. We got stuff on the basketball portal. We're covering baseball. We got some tidbits on Sean Miller's staff up there. So come join InsideTexas.com today. Again, 4 months for just $1. So, all righty. Justin, thank you. Charlie, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time on the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com.